Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classroom into bastions of creativity and wonder. And today we're going to be talking about something that connects to this idea of creative classrooms, and it's the role of feedback. What do we do with feedback? How do we use it effectively? How do we make it into something that is meaningful to students when they're doing things like project-based learning or design thinking? So I want to start with a scenario that I think we've all experienced before. It goes like this. You sit down in front of a Google document and leave tons of specific comments only to realize that the student didn't even bother to open up the document again. Or maybe you leave specific comments on essays only to watch students check their grade at the top of the paper and then immediately toss the essay into the recycle bin. It can feel frustrating. Now, students often view feedback as something that occurs after the learning is all over, but we actually know that authentic feedback is an integrated part of the learning process. It's vital for the entire thing. Think about it this way. Feedback is critical for building something called metacognition. And if you look at the metacognition cycle, which is on the blog post connected to this podcast, you'll notice that students go through this cycle where they assess the task, they evaluate the strengths and weaknesses, that leads to planning the approach, that leads to applying strategies, and then finally reflection, which then leads to assessing the task all over again. And all of this, every part of it, requires feedback. Through self-assessment, peer feedback, and teacher feedback, students gain a deeper understanding of their progress, and they need that to build that sort of metacognition. And they can then plan for their learning, they make the adjustments along the way, they plan the strategies, they tweak what they're doing. And again, all of this requires frequent feedback. Now, it doesn't always feel that way because some of the feedback is happening right there in the moment. But the truth is we are always paying attention to our feedback as we learn. And this is especially true in things like project-based learning or design thinking, where the learning is iterative, where there's a built-in part of it that encourages students to modify what they're doing and to change course. Students engage in tons of tiny little experiments, making little tweaks along the way, and they're going to change both the process and the product as they go. What they're doing when this happens is they're learning how to pivot. They're learning how to be flexible and nimble, which are vital skills that they're going to need for learning in the future, but also for their future jobs. Now, unfortunately, quick confession here, I've had moments when this didn't even happen on our projects. I remember crafting projects where the only true feedback happened at the very end of the unit when I filled out a rubric. When I first created a makerspace, I remember focusing so much on the hands-on side of learning that I never asked students to self-reflect or give any kind of peer feedback. When we hit a time crunch in the middle of some of my favorite projects, I would have an easy time justifying more time for prototyping, but a harder time to justify feedback and revision, so I would kind of let those pieces slip. But I had times when students did make the most out of feedback, times when it worked really well. And in these moments, students grew in their understanding of the concepts and the skills within the standards. They internalized the design process and grew as creative thinkers. They improved in their craft, whether it was a multimedia design or a coding project. But more importantly, they began to develop a growth mindset. So with that in mind, I want to think through 7 different ways to improve student feedback. Now, the following are some core ideas of how we can integrate the student feedback into the learning process in a more seamless way. And this is based on trial and error and making lots and lots of mistakes as a teacher, and even currently making mistakes with feedback as a professor. But it's also something that has come from observing some really awesome teachers that I've worked with, and now some really awesome professors that I work with. And for that reason, I want to share these 7 ways to improve student feedback. Number 1, explain the purpose of the feedback. So right now I'm leaving feedback on student work. These are my pre-service teachers. They're getting a master's in arts and teaching, and they want to become teachers. They want to develop really good lesson plans and unit plans. And so my feedback is very product driven. Yes, I care about how they do. Yes, I care about whether or not they understand the process of lesson planning. But I want to see that the lessons that they've developed are quality lessons. And so I'm leaving feedback on things like their objectives, their learning tasks, their pacing, their grouping, that type of stuff. And when we think about the larger scope of feedback, it's important for students to know that they're receiving feedback on very specific things, and then also why it's important. You might provide students feedback on their ability to use design thinking in a project. You might provide feedback on their current product that they're making, and this feedback helps them to revise it and improve it. You might focus more on the standards themselves, asking students to identify key areas where they need to grow and improve. But the bottom line is this: no matter what type of feedback you're giving, it needs to be clear to the students. They need to know what they are getting feedback on, and also a rationale for why. So when you say something like, I'm not going to give you feedback on your documentary right now, but I am going to talk to you about the process you're using, and that's going to help you improve the process in the future. What you're saying to the student in that moment is, here is what I'm focusing on for this feedback, and here's why it matters. Or when you say something like, we're going to take a look at your current progress and compare it to the project management sheet that you had created, again, you're letting them know, I'm doing this so that you can get back on schedule. But then if you say something like, hey, I really want you to develop as a coder, and I'm going to be giving you feedback on whether or not your coding is creative, whether or not it's logical, whether or not you're hitting the standards, whatever it might be, or you might be saying the same thing for, let's say, blogging or writing. Again, you're letting them know, I'm focusing on this area, and here's why. Number 2, don't provide a grade with your feedback. Now, this sounds counterintuitive, but what I found is that if you give students a grade with their feedback, that they focus on the grade and they ignore the feedback. I think it helps to give feedback along the way and then use a grade only as a summative piece at the very end. So let them know, hey, you're on track, don't worry about your grades, you'll be fine, and then slowly move into just feedback, feedback, feedback. There's a great post from Jennifer Gonzalez. She has an excellent podcast called Cult of Pedagogy, and I love what she writes. And she has a whole system of how she does this in, I think, 6 different steps. I'm not going to go over it all right now, but that works. Another thing that works here is to only give feedback on student work and then just have a whole separate document with the standards and the mastery level of where they are. And then that process kind of separates the feedback where you really want to have students focus and improve versus the standards where they know if they're meeting specific standards separately. Number 3 is provide revision time in class. And this is the hard part. There's no shortcut here. We just need to have students spending more time in class revising their work. And so the idea here is that you carve out time where students get the opportunity to revise their work and to make sense out of the revision, feedback that you've given them and that they've given each other. Number 4 is to build bridges from feedback to revision. And this helps to ask students questions like, what are you going to do with this feedback? And then from there, they can set goals, they can talk through it. They can sometimes they might do something like look at the feedback you've given and have 2 observations and 3 questions that they have about it, or 3 observations and 2 questions. I love having them do 3 observations, two questions they have and one thing they're going to do differently now because of the feedback they've gotten. But those are all ways where you're essentially taking it from the feedback and you're moving it to the revision phase where you're actually asking students to revise their work. I want to point out something back to number three, the revision time in class. This again is part of why I love both design thinking and project-based learning, because those components have a built-in section for revision. So you're dedicating class time to it. And the goal is to do less, but do it at a deeper level rather than just piling on the assignments. You also typically do less direct instruction. You have fewer transition times, and all of that allows for more revision time. Number five is to use a variety of feedback tools. So here are some of the feedback tools that I've used that have been helpful for me, or things that other teachers have used that they found really helpful as well. So the first one is tracking goals. So they track their goals, they set goals, they monitor their own progress. Self-reflections, where they're answering these self-reflections and making sense of what they know, what they don't know, what they're going to do next. Verbal feedback with sentence stems, having this kind of peer discourse on how they're doing. That's especially helpful for students who are second language learners. But to be honest, sentence stems work for all students who need to gain more access to that academic language. Structured feedback. This is things like the 3-2-1 feedback system, or a SWOT, which is strength, weakness, opportunity, threats. Could be a carousel activity, a see, think, wonder. Any of those structured feedback pieces are a way to give students specific parameters that will guide them on their feedback and what they do with it. Another one is self-assessment surveys, which are different than open-ended self-reflection questions. The goal here is to make it a little more quantitative for students. Another one is self-assessment rubrics, where you basically take the kind of rubrics that you would fill out for students. You take the numbers off of the rubrics completely, so you only have kind of qualitative labels, and then you have them use that to self-assess. And the final one is one of my favorites. It's checklists, and I just love the idea of student checklists. There's a great book called The Checklist Manifesto, and it has really shaped my thinking on just the value of using checklists to double-check things, to set parameters ahead of time, as diagnostic tools. And I want to point out that what I love about all of this is some of these are very open-ended, some of these are very tight, some of these are qualitative, some of these are quantitative. And the truth is, it doesn't matter, because in the end, what really matters is that they're getting a variety of different types of assessments and that they're doing it in a way that is authentic. Number six is to vary the grouping. And this is basically the idea of having self-assessment, which according to Hattie is one of the most significant educational interventions that you can do for students. And I kind of mentioned some of those just a second ago. Another thing that I found helpful is peer assessment. I have a whole thing that you can download on my website. It's at spencerauthor.com. It's the 20-minute peer conferencing system. Yes, it's completely free. You can check it out. There are sentence stems with it. There are tools that you can use for this 20-minute conference system. It's real fast, and you can just modify it, change it, make it yours, and use it in any subject with really any grade level. And it's basically a critical friends style structure to guide feedback. And then the final one is student-teacher conferencing. And I've mentioned this a lot on the podcast, but I'm a huge fan of having students conference with teachers. I'm doing this right now with my current group of pre-service teachers. We meet from 5 to 10 minutes, and I just schedule meetings with each one of them during class. And then from there, we can work through where they're struggling, where they might need some help, some targeted help. I can guide them in some self-reflection. And I actually have three different types of conferences. One is a feedback conference where you are giving feedback, targeted help. Another one is a reflection conference where you are guiding students in the self-reflection process. And the last one is a mastery or a standards-based conference. And this is where you just go through the standards and figure out if you're getting it, if you're not getting it, and what you want to do next. And then the final thing, number seven, is to make it visible. And this comes from a book called Making Thinking Visible. Again, I highly recommend this book. And it's just the idea that instead of giving kind of abstract language, you give specific feedback, and you do so in a way that lets students process things visually or even kinesthetically. So there's all kinds of great strategies. There's some great ideas in that particular book. And again, I highly recommend that. So the bottom line is this: assessment is not something that you take, it's something that you do. And feedback isn't something that happens when things are over. It's something that happens in the midst of the learning. So the more we can integrate the feedback into the projects and lessons that students are doing, the better off they'll be. And in the process, they will have more of a sense of student ownership. And they'll also grow in that metacognition that they need in order to become lifelong learners. All right, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast at all, would you leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher? And I guess it's technically Apple Podcast now, but you know what it is. And with that in mind, just thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.